The Long March by Marie-Louise Fitzpatrick. The Long March is a story of Chuna, a young Choctaw farmer from southeastern USA, who must make his own decision about whether to send a gift to help the Irish during the famine. The Choctaw gift was in response to an appeal made in 1847 in Washington by the then American Vice President in response to news of the Irish people's plight. Chuna's great-grandmother tells him the full story about the government forcing his people to leave their ancestral home in Mississippi and walk about 500 miles without enough blankets or food. He learns how families were forced to leave the bodies of their loved ones on the trail. Then great-grandmother cleared her throat to speak. Immediately, everyone turned to hear what Talihoyo would say. She had the attention of the whole council. Even the children crept forward from the shadows. Her words would carry weight. She was our oldest elder. Long ago, she began, when the world was young, the ground split open and the Choctaw people walked out of the earth into the living land. I thought my great-grandmother had gotten off the point, but I didn't care. I loved her stories. I slid down to the floor beside my sisters. The ground closed behind the people, continued Talihoyo, and they called the mound where the earth had opened Nani Waia, and said they would live only around her, their mother. They believed that if they left her, they would be lost forever. Our people lived well from the earth, taking what they needed and leaving what they did not. They farmed the land, hunted in the forests, and fished the rivers. Their warriors were respected by enemy tribes, and they defended Choctaw villages fiercely. Talihoyo glanced towards Mishima Abbey and smiled. Then the Nahulo came. The Spanish, the French, the English. They were different. Their skins were white. Their ways were strange. Their weapons were powerful. At first, the Choctaw welcomed these people. They knew they must learn to live with them, and so our people gave these newcomers land, thinking there was enough for all. In return, they got guns and horses and many things they had not seen before. For more than 100 winters, the different peoples lived side by side, but always the strangers wanted land, more land. In the end, they wanted it all, and our people could do nothing to stop them. 16 winters ago, at Dancing Rabbit Creek, the last of our lands in Mississippi were signed away. We were to break our promise to the Creator and leave Nani Wahaya and the land of our ancestors. Talihoyo was silent for a moment. I glanced around the circle. Everyone was quiet. I thought I saw dread in many eyes. We packed our belongings, those we could carry, said the old woman, and we prepared to leave our homeland. We left behind our villages, our great fields of corn, our hunting grounds, the ancient burial places of our people. As we left, we kissed the ground and hugged the trees. The women clung to the bushes that overhung the Mississippi River. It was winter when the march began. Thousands of us stretching to the horizon like a great herd of buffalo. It was cold. The rivers were freezing. The walking was hard. Soon the food was running out. The soldiers who marched us west to the new lands could not explain why the blankets and food the government promised did not come. Every night we lay down to sleep on frozen ground, and every morning there were those who did not wake. People began to starve. Children became sick. The fever came, and old and young slipped away from us into the spirit world. The ground became too hard to dig, and we could not bury our dead. We stripped their bodies and, as our ancestors once did, lifted them into the forks of the trees. In this way, we buried them in the sky. The march went on, day after day. 500 miles of swamp, river, forest, mountain, snow, ice. 500 miles of death. Now we walked alone, though together, each of us trying to stay alive. Trying to finish the day's journey. Waking each morning to walk again. Thousands of us walking in silence. Families fell behind to nurse the dying, to wait and watch with them, to leave their bodies behind, then to join the long march again, on and on, walking bones. Mountain Fork was the last river to cross. Our journey was over, they told us. Half our people were gone. All the old ones, all the small children, gone. Our journey was over, they told us. Yet we have walked in circles ever since. We have ploughed new fields, but the land is foreign to us. We have built new homes, yet we are lost, just as our ancestors said we would be. I am old without teeth, said Talihoyo. I am half blind, but when I close my eyes, the faces of the dead come to me through the blackness. We have walked the Trail of Tears. The Irish people walk it now. We can help them as we could not help ourselves. Our help will be like an arrow shot through time. It will land many winters from now to wait as a blessing for our unborn generations. Talihoyo was silent then. No one spoke, and I could see that the men and women were far away. I looked at my mother. Her gaze seemed to go right through me as if I wasn't there. I dropped my eyes. After a while, my father stood up. He addressed the council. We have only a little, but let us gather what we have and send it to Ireland. The journey home was a quiet one. My sisters and I did not dare to break the silence.